Let me talk to the men out there listening real quick. Guys, are you suffering from erectile dysfunction, fatigue, decreased muscle tone, lack of energy, low libido, brain fog, sleep disturbances? Hey, low libido? Ask your girlfriend or wife. She'll let you know if you're suffering from that or not. That's sex drive. If you'll text my name, Clay, in all caps to 601-327-8550, 601-327-8550, Men's Health of Mississippi and the Clay Edwards Show are going to hook you up with a free testosterone screening. They're located in Madison, Mississippi at 120 Fountains Boulevard. You can check them out online, menshealthms.com. But one more time, text my name, all caps, Clay, to 601-327-8550 and get your free testosterone screening scheduled today. Enjoy the rest of this show. Boom, shakalaka boom. It's a Fafo Friday here on the Clay Edwards Show. We're streaming worldwide at WYAB.com as well as the TuneIn app. Just search Alexa. No, I said it wrong. All that, I got it wrong. Just search WYOB on TuneIn and Alexa. Anyhow, we're on 103.9 FM, WYAB here in Central Mississippi, broadcasting from out here in Flora, Mississippi, to the rest of the world. Guns and Gear text line. I want to jump straight in. We ain't going to waste no time on a Fafo Friday. We got Russ Latino coming up in the next segment with Magnolia Tribune. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, mainly this Medicaid expansion or lack thereof at this point. But Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944, 769-241-1944. The Mazda of Jackson phone line, 601-879-0002, 601-879-0002. Sean.
Yep.
The Red Cup Rebellion in Oxford yesterday.
The Red Cup Rebellion. Isn't that like a blog in Ole Miss or something like that?
Yeah, it is. But it's so appropriate, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's right, so, the Red Cup Rebellion.
So I got to backtrack a little. I got on here yesterday and went hard on not just Ole Miss fans, but sports fans in general. I was like, you know, guys, I wish y'all put as much energy. And this is something Jameson's been on for a while, so I want to make sure I give credit here. I wish people would put as much energy into real life stuff that affects us in a day-to-day basis as they did their sports activity, their sports fandom. Like, you can do both, believe it or not. And I mean, the same day, the frat boy rebellion happens. Now, really, it started over at UNC over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
University of North Carolina with the frat boys holding up the flag. You hadn't seen any of that?
No, I've not seen this. No.
Yeah, there's a, you may want to Google it. Okay. The UNC frat boys hold up American flag at Palestine rally.
Oh, okay.
And they were getting berated by the Free Palestine people. Just called every nasty name in the book. How dare you? We're trying to disrespect America. We hate America. Why are you holding the flag up?
I just pulled it up. Okay.
So that started it.
Gotcha.
And so the next Southern protest was at Ole Miss yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And the frat boys stood up. There's a classic photo of one frat boy with a permed mullet. And all you can see is the back of his head. He's got the bird on one finger and holding like $600 or $700 in hundreds in the other. Mm-hmm. And there's this lady beside him with this just gobsmacked look on her face. Like, you could tell she just got pregnant. Like that, it was immaculate conception.
Right.
I mean, this photo is so awesome. He's just dripping drip, you know?
So, I mean, so they're, I guess, you know, obviously they're trying to be pro-American, and the Palestine people are just hating on him. That's what's going on. That's kind of what I gleaned.
Well,
the last
yes.
Minute.
So there, the frat boys ended up outnumbering the we're just going to say Antifa nut jobs. Okay. That's really what this is. It's Antifa. Mm-hmm. Again, it's BLM. It's the same people with their thing of the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all wearing those little scarves that people from Palestine wear. They got their Palestine flags. In America, again. Because, you know, you actually would be killed for doing these kind of protests over there in Palestine, by the way. The people they're defending. And I know I don't want to say I've ridden the fence on this topic. I'm just honest on this topic. When it comes to this Palestine versus Israel thing.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, we've talked about this a lot, right?
Yeah, I'm just not hyper-passionate about it. What I am hyper-passionate about is hypocrites that have never been to Palestine, probably don't know anybody from Palestine, and they're basically supporting the Palestinian government.
Yeah, which is Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. I mean, I said this like Wednesday about it. What bothers me the most is that I don't think any of these protesters know any of the history of this whatsoever, and maybe have never heard of it prior to October the 7th, and that's what's concerning to me. And it's kind of reminiscent of, remember last year, there was a TikTok movement about Osama bin Laden's letter to America.
Yep.
Remember that?
Same thing.
And how, you know, people that are, I guess, in their 20s now that were small children at that time are now saying that Osama bin Laden was right to attack America, you know, and that just, you lack any historical awareness whatsoever if you're going to say something like that. And I think that's what these people are doing in my mind.
And what's really got me fired up is the left-wing Twitter nut jobs here in Mississippi, in particular Ashton Pittman and that whole crew,
mm-hmm.
with Mississippi Free Press. And I'm just using him as my example. They're comparing the frat boys at Ole Miss to the white Democrat outside agitators during the 1960s civil rights movement when the military had to come in to escort James Meredith in.
Sure.
Sean, can we agree that these ain't the same things?
No, it's you know, actually, I think I told you this morning, I read a book years ago. It's called American Insurrection. This was before January 6th, when, you know, and it was what happened on Ole Miss campus at that time. And I mean, it was pretty horrific. It was a massive riot, and I can't remember if anybody was killed. I think a guardsman was shot off the top of my head. It's been a long time since I read that. And it was chaos. I mean, it was absolute chaos. And what they were, you know, obviously mad about is that the University of Mississippi was going to be integrated. I don't know how frat boys, you know, saying that we're pro-American is the same thing as that. I don't think it is. I don't even know where they get that correlation.
No, it's frankly, it's disgusting. And they keep showing a picture of the white Democrat outside agitators.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Oxford, Mississippi, and were being racist. And they're comparing that now to frat boys being frat boys.
Yeah. I mean,
but singing the national anthem and chanting, we want Trump or something to that extent. I still want to understand how this is, because frankly, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that the Free Palestine folks were the outside agitators this time. Again, progressive Democrats. There seems to be one key component here, and it's progressive Democrat being outside agitators and frankly racist.
I think that definitely the pro-Palestine people, the most of them are, you know, supporting Hamas, which again is a terrorist group.
Exactly.
And I think the other people were, you know,
supporting
the Klan,
which is a terrorist group.
Yeah, exactly. They did. And, you know, I assume that people, the Free Palestine people are, you know, on the left. I don't know what their political position is. I just know that, you know, I get their position, like I've said in the past, about wanting to make sure that the Palestinian citizens are not being massacred. I think that's important. But the support of Hamas is a different issue.
Sean, they're trying to demonize any counter-protest.
Yeah.
To their nonsense. And that's what we have to stand up and fight for. Mississippi Today has a disgusting article up.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, it wasn't equal. Counter-protesters overwhelmed Palestinian students at the university, pro-Palestinian students at the University of Mississippi.
I'm sorry.
Whose fault is that?
Well, and think about that for a moment, what they just said there. So people that are against the terrorists overwhelmed. Wow, I'm glad that's true. You know, like, wow, I mean, really? So people that are against terrorism are overwhelming the people that are pro-terrorists? Okay, well, I'm good with that.
And they're devaluing the work and the generational change that the civil rights movement accomplished,
mm-hmm.
by comparing every disagreement with the left to the civil rights movement. Anytime there's a protest on a college campus and anybody remotely is on the other side, oh, you're no different than the Klan. What does the Klan and James Meredith and any of this have to do with Palestine? And don't give me the black and browns people stuff.
I mean, it's got nothing to do with it. I mean, James Meredith, they were trying to integrate Ole Miss, and the people that protested and rioted were wrong. I mean, historically, look back on them as a bad lens in history of what they did. Meredith shouldn't have been admitted to the university. He eventually was. And it was just a horrible time in our history. That's it. This is different, where these the pro-Palestine people, they say, okay, we're protesting because of genocide. They're, well, there's a way to end this. Hamas can surrender. I mean, they can do that. They're a terrorist group that can surrender, but they don't want to do that, of course. And so what you're doing is you're propping up a terrorist organization. And that has nothing to do with James Meredith getting to the University of Mississippi. I just don't see the correlation.
All right, so for, I'm watching some video here on X, and they're literally telling you don't believe your lying eyes here.
Okay.
There's a white guy in some overalls, just kind of jumping up and down, being real excited. And what does Donna Ladd see through her eyes, do you think, Sean? Donna Ladd is the editor of the Jackson Free Press and the Mississippi Free Press.
And the picture says what again?
It's just a white guy jumping up and down, clapping, you know, getting fired up.
I don't know. What's her response?
Donna Ladd says, this is an ad for the need for DEI. Principles and methods need to be taught on college campuses. Grown men in elected office cheering on white frat children making monkey sounds at black women and throwing things at anti-genocide protesters. Trump is ripping the U.S. apart.
What? Hey, okay, so back up a second. Was it an elected official that was clapping?
I think she's referring to Tate Reeves saying that he's okay. Proud of Mississippi.
Oh, I saw that. I saw his tweet or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, and notice the next thing she says, anti-genocide protesters. Well, yeah, I'm sure some of them are anti-genocide, but they're also pro-terrorist. I mean, let's look at it that way. I mean, can we stop the terrorist thing first? I mean, I'm going to stop the genocide. I don't want Palestinian citizens massacred. I don't think anybody wants that.
We're going to all agree on that.
I mean, I think, yeah, but the terrorists need to be stopped. And the only way you do that is by killing them. I mean, that's just it. And then we've spent the last 20 years doing that. And so now we're supposed to hate on the Israelis for enacting the same policy that we did. I'm sorry. I just
post 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Clay Travis did a great, he had a really good rant on his, not the radio show, but on his internet show, the Outkick show the other day, about this very topic and just about how stupid these protests are when you really, really sit down and look at it. Over in Iran the other day, the government killed a 16-year-old girl who made a TikTok dance video.
Yeah. There's a million examples of that over there in Iran.
How many of these people do you think, if that's the crime, if that's the punishment for TikTok dance videos, would be killed?
Every one of them?
That are protesting for Palestine.
Yeah, every one of them.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I thought of this, too, Clay.
What about all the... I hate to keep going back to it, but the queers for Palestine may be the absolute.
That's the yeah.
That's Jews for Nazis.
Yeah, that's the same thing. It's so stupid. I mean, I was thinking about this. What if another terrorist attack happens in the United States, like what happened on 9/11? Like, let's say somebody blows up, you know, the Capitol building, the White House. Okay.
I can answer this question for you. We would pick sides, and we would not come together like 9/12/01.
Right. I agree with that 100%. I think you're right. But I will say this. I'll tell you what my side would be. I would say, go over there and murder every one of them. And not murder, just kill them all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would say today, just like I did 20 years ago. And I don't think that response is wrong when you have that kind of attack. I mean, so I think if you got to look at through those lens, too, what the Israelis feel.
Exactly. All right. Look, great segment there. Shout out to the Ole Miss frat boys. Golf clap in the studio. People got to stand up and start fighting back. When nobody fights back and nobody ever sees people fight back, and I don't even necessarily like the word fight in this scenario, but if people don't stand up and protest the other side, it's nice to see. Now, they're probably all going to end up on an FBI watch list now. This is now an insurrection. You're not allowed to publicly disagree with the left in any type of protest. So they're all insurrectionists now, but I'm still proud of them. You don't get this out of me too often, but I'm going to give a big old hotty toddy to the Ole Miss frat boys this morning. Let's take a break. When we come back, I believe we're going to have Russ Latino on the phone with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, get out to Burgers Blues Barbecue this morning. Right there at the Flowood location. Got breakfast cooking it up till 10:30 a.m. It's 6:30 to 10:30 every Monday through Saturday morning right there in Dogwood. Get over there today. Try I'm gonna tell you my favorite sandwich is one I just custom build. It's a grilled chicken sandwich with bacon, ranch, and lettuce, tomato, and basically a BLT on a bun with a grilled chicken breast and some ranch dressing. So, so good. Get the fresh cut fries or the sweet potato fries with it, or even the hand battered onion rings. And of course, they got the Madison location as well as downtown Brandon. Downtown Brandon is not open for breakfast. The other locations are, but they do have the biggest patio of the bunch. You got a big crew, need to seat them somewhere, just like their old County Line Road location back in the day. They got the big, big patio in Brandon. They also had the B3 dive bar, and, of course, they had the separate restaurant part for, you know, if you just don't want to be around all the other stuff. That's Burgers, Blues Barbecue. They got two food trucks available for all your special events, and, of course, they can handle catering from 5 to 5,000 people. Check them out online today, burgersblues.com. All right, man, we got a great interview here lined up. We got Magnolia Tribune's very own Russ Latino on the Mazda of Jackson phone line. Russ, good morning, brother.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, man, good. I got me and Sean here in the studio. Russ, we were just discussing, I want to start here because you were very active with this yesterday, the Ole Miss counter-protest. And the reaction from the left on this, comparing it to the James Meredith stuff, is about one of the more disgusting, low-down, dirty things I've seen them do in a while. And that is really, really saying something. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty abhorrent tactic. It's not unsurprising, though. It's something that I think folks tend to fall back on when they don't have good arguments. Certainly in the 1960s, Mississippi was not a friendly place for African Americans, and we've got a lot of stains on our history. But you can't keep relying on that 60-plus years later in completely different contexts as a way to marginalize a point of view. The fact is that there's no comparison between the discrimination that African Americans face and a dispute over whether or not this country is going to support Western values in the year 2024, or whether or not this country is going to go in the direction of supporting essentially what was terrorism on October 7th. And so I find it disgusting, but not surprising.
Ditto. I'm just watching these videos and I'm seeing your Ashton Pittmans of the world have an absolute meltdown comparing this to the civil rights stuff. And I hate seeing the civil rights, the legacy of civil rights, and that time in America basically be devalued and bastardized to as a reference point anytime they don't have a good argument. It's just, it devalues
that. Right.
Do what?
Yeah, I was just saying, I think that's right, that it's a cheap tactic. It's meant to shut down conversation. It's meant to shame people with a different point of view. It's completely intellectually dishonest. The fact of the matter is that across this nation, college students that are largely entitled have decided to take a position in favor of the elimination of the state of Israel. They act like it is some new occasion, like Israel just committed some sort of occupation of Palestinian land. You know, the Jewish people have ancestral connections to the land of Israel that dates back thousands of years. There's plenty of historical record for that. But more than that, just in recent political times, the state of Israel has existed for 75 years. And as a result of that, it's really strange to act like we suddenly should wipe them off the face of the map. It is also morally repugnant to me that essentially what they're saying is that the acts of October 7th, where you had armed militants invade Israel, rape, kill, kidnap women, children, and men, civilians, was justified by the fact that Israel exists. And so if you look around these college campuses, you've seen chants of death to Israel. You hear people saying, F the Jews, right? You now see people chanting death to America, and signs talking about ending colonialism and occupation in America. This is a poorly veiled communist effort, right, to destabilize not only Israel, but to destabilize the United States. And so what I saw yesterday, yeah, were some of these guys boisterous? Were some of these guys using profanity in a way that I don't necessarily support? Sure. But what you saw was that American people still love America, and there are people who are willing to fight for this country, who are willing to fight for its principles, and this small segment that has occupied all this news space doesn't represent what average Americans think.
Russ, I was going to ask you a question, and I'm sure you've noticed this too. I see the media narrative on this is equating it to the protests of the Vietnam War in the 1960s. And what I see, it's fundamentally different than that in my mind. And what I mean by that is that they were protesting a war they didn't understand at that time. And now we all see through this lens.
Nor did they want to get drafted into
it. Get drafted into a war that it wasn't a clear objective and that they opposed, which to me I think was actually pretty honorable. This is pretty clear what happened here. There was a terrorist attack. And now you have the pro-Gaza people, you know, protesting in favor of the terrorists and then in veiling it with anti-genocide is what they like to say. And I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great comparison either. I mean, for starters, obviously the conflict in Vietnam involved U.S. citizens being drafted into service and going, to your point, to fight in a war that they did not understand. That's entirely different than some college kids who literally have nothing on the line that aren't being asked to be drafted. And really, their ideological position isn't, we don't want to go to war. Their ideological position is, we want to pick sides in someone else's war, and we want to pick the side of the aggressor. And, you know, I think that makes it pretty fundamentally different than what happened in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's the way I'm kind of looking at it. I know that they're trying to, you know, equate this to the same, that there's a movement among young people in the same vein as that. But I don't see how it's any way related to this at all. And I think that's a good point you made, that none of these kids are, there's no draft card for them. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not in danger of losing their lives over in Palestine and Israel. That's not something that's ever going to happen. And so they want to equate it to the same kind of fervor the kids in the 60s did when who actually were looking at the prospect of dying for something that they didn't know anything about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me. Like, go and look at the materials that are being put out, you know, video clips and whatnot, you know, some of the documents that have been circulated that are planning documents. And what you see is a lot of, like, hardcore communist language. I mean, they refer to each other as comrades over and over again, as an example. You know, in many ways, what we're seeing here, not to get too philosophical, is the outgrowth of cultural Marxism. And there are a lot of tentacles to that, right? Yeah. I mean, one of the big tentacles of that is this concept of intersectionality that really sort of ranks people on a hierarchy that says that if you've been a minority or you've been disadvantaged in some way, then your thoughts or your opinions on particular issues are more important than the people that we think haven't been disadvantaged, right? Mm-hmm. So it takes the conversation away from merit and puts the conversation entirely on identity, right? If you're the right kind of person, then your opinion counts more than other people. And in that context, I think what they've said is, well, the Israelis have power, and if you have power, that must mean that you're an oppressor. And because of that, without any real regard to what the facts of the case are, we're going to side with the militant terrorists from Gaza and Hamas. That's a really bad way to go through life. I mean, at the end of the day, we should make moral judgments based on the merit of individual cases. We should be able to consider nuance without reducing everything down to identity politics. And so at some level, I think that's what's going on these college campuses. I mean, you guys have seen the videos of people literally saying, I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
they're just kind of being drafted into anger. And so, you know, what you saw yesterday at Ole Miss's campus is that sentiment is not the majority sentiment.
No. Russ, you got time to do another segment with us?
Sure.
I want to come back and hit the Medicaid expansion that you were such a big part of and whatnot. So, look, we got Russ Latino, Magnolia Tribune, Sean Yerkron, and myself, Clay Edwards. We'll be right back on WYAB. Welcome back in to the Clay Dropped His Headphones, Clay Edwards Show. We are live here on WYAB. This segment brought to you by Reliable Rental Equipment. Go see my guys, Reddy, Teddy, McRaney, and Steven over there today for all your heavy equipment rental needs and your light equipment rental needs. Guys, you just need to rent a zero-turn mower for the weekend, a gas-powered weed eater. Maybe you need a generator. Taylor Outdoor diesel-powered lighting solutions. They need some of those along the interstates in Jackson. Anyway, don't let me get down that rabbit hole. Reliable rental equipment. They got you covered today. Located right there at Meadowbrook Road. Rollback dumpsters. That's the bread and butter. That's how they built this empire, was on rollback dumpsters. So they always got you covered there. There's typically free delivery within a 10-mile radius, but that changes every week. They got a different special every week. So check them out, ReliableRentalEquipment.com. Guys, are you you contractors, you construction companies? Get in touch with Teddy. Let Reliable Rental become your equipment rental company. They got you covered. DIY, do-it-yourself, weekend warriors doing some work around the house. Reliable Rental Equipment. Plumbers, you need to dig a trench, you don't have a backhoe, rent one from them, and you can also rent operators at daily rates. No sense in having to use a third-party contractor there. All right, Reliable Rental Equipment. Let's get back to the Mazda Jackson phone line. We got Russ Latino, MagnoliaTribune.com, here in the studio with us. Russ, something you've obviously been very outspoken about, more so than anybody here in in-state media, as far as I know, was the potential Medicaid expansion, and that died a fiery death over the last couple of days with the House trying to send it to the ballot, and the Lieutenant Governor Delbert Hoseman just completely shooting it down altogether, and it's now being moved to the 2025 legislative session. What are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'd say is that I didn't set out to become the guy that talked about Medicaid as much as I have. I think, candidly, I became that because, in my mind, there was so much disinformation being spread, and no one was giving any credence or voice to potential concerns around expansion. And so that's really how that started.
Sure.
Every state that's done Medicaid expansion has drastically overshot in terms of the amount of enrollment, the cost. You end up in a situation where you crowd out the most vulnerable patients from getting access to care often, because you've got already 800,000 people in Mississippi on Medicaid, their children and pregnant moms and disabled people and the impoverished elderly that are already on the program. And so if you have this massive influx of new people without also increasing the supply of medical providers, what you do is make it harder for the people who are originally on the program to get access to care. And so some of those things were sort of chief in my mind as concerns. Another one was the fact that, candidly, there's a federal government program in the Affordable Care Act called the ACA Exchange, where you get private insurance if you make between 100% of the federal poverty level and 138% of the federal poverty level, that's completely paid for by the federal government. And so if you had fully expanded Medicaid, what you would have done is you would have moved those people off of that private insurance and onto Medicaid. In the course of doing that, the state would take on 10% of the responsibility or the cost of that program. So for lots of reasons, both in terms of access to care and also fiscally, I thought there were reasons to be opposed to what was being proposed. In terms of how it went down legislatively, my sense is that you had a big gap between where the Senate started and where the House started. The Senate wanted to close the coverage gap by doing partial expansion, and they wanted a work requirement, which candidly is something that most Mississippians want. We did a poll back in March, and 90% of Republican primary voters said they wouldn't support Medicaid expansion without a work requirement. And I think a lot of people just intuitively think if you're going to have $8,000 to $9,000 a year in expenses on somebody, that person should be willing to work. So the Senate was insistent on a work requirement. The House's plan was not contingent upon the approval of a work requirement, and that created a gap in the discussions. I think the Speaker's idea of a referendum, candidly, was a Hail Mary at the very end of the process. And I know that there's a natural inclination to say, well, yeah, let's let people decide this. Where I come from on that is, one, if we had put a referendum on the ballot, what would have happened over the next 6-plus months would have been an all-out nasty war, right, that effectively would have divided people in a way that I think is unnecessary. I think the other thing it would have done was, candidly, it would have increased Democratic participation in the November election. So if you're a Republican supermajority and you're a Republican speaker, you probably don't want to divide the Republican Party more than it's already been divided over this issue. And you probably don't want to help increase Democratic participation in the election if you're operating from the point of view of a Republican, right? Yeah. So that was part of the thought process. I think the other thing, candidly, is you've got a situation here with a very complex policy that takes a lot of time. And there are people who have studied this stuff for years and years. It's what they devote themselves. It takes a lot of time to understand. And you're asking the general public in two questions to formulate policy. And my point of view as a Republican, if you think about it that way, is you look at it and you say, well, what does it mean to have a Republican form of government? It means that you elect representation to make these hard decisions. And so ultimately, Lieutenant Governor Hoseman stepped in and basically said, no, we're not going to do that. And he did it relatively quickly. So that kind of was the end of the discussion.
Sean, you got anything on this?
Well, Russ, what do you think about the prospects for it coming up next session? How's that looking?
Yeah, I don't think it's done by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there's clearly a lot of people, in the medical community, a lot of people on what I would call the center left to left, on the political spectrum that want this. And candidly, there are some businesses that would benefit from it because they would be able to move their employees off of private health insurance that the employer pays for and onto Medicaid. My personal take is that, taxpayers shouldn't be subsidizing businesses. And so that particular sort of train of thought is problematic to me. But I don't think this is going away. I actually thought that the Senate's original proposal, setting aside my own sort of ideology, the Senate's original proposal was narrowly tailored in a way that would have addressed the concerns that people were raising, right? People said, well, there are people without access to health insurance. And there is that gap between people who aren't eligible for Medicaid and aren't eligible for the ACA exchange, what's called the coverage gap. There are about 74,000 people in that. And among those 74,000, Kaiser Family Foundation estimates about 33,000 of them are working.
Okay.
So what the Senate plan said is we're going to basically expand partially to cover that gap, and we're going to put a work requirement in place that encourages people to work. I didn't think that was an unsensible approach. I thought it got worse and worse the more they tried to expand upwards of 138%. But it's short version is I suspect it's coming back.
Russ, there was something I read about midday yesterday that I think somebody in the House had approached, one of the Democrats in the House had approached Senator Blackwell about it having the work requirement not reviewed annually. I think that's what he said, if I'm remembering this correctly. And it looked like they'd almost come to a deal on that one tweak. Do you know what happened in regard to that, why that didn't flesh out?
Yeah, I think that was misreported
okay.
by people who wanted to get Medicaid expansion done, and so they were engaged in a bit of wishful thinking. That same outlet, of course, was reporting up until the election last November that the race for governor was one that Brandon Presley could win. So I think a lot of that was wishful thinking. I do think that there was a conversation between Representative Johnson and Senator Blackwell about a potential change on the work requirement.
Mm-hmm.
My intel in talking to senators was that it was never taken seriously. Ultimately, the end result was that they didn't agree to it.
Okay,
Russ, since you brought it up, are you going to be accepting the Presley's dinner invitation?
I don't think that was a genuine invitation. it's strange to me at some level that a guy who put up a very good fight, raised $12 million, ran a good campaign. As the Democratic nominee for governor, seems to be bothered by me. I view that as a sign of impact, and at least that we're having some effect on the way that people think about hard issues.
I agree 100%. I'm very surprised at how fragile he is. Let me ask this. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes. I just want to get your thoughts real quick. I want to leave all this political stuff in the past as the session closes here. We got a win late yesterday with the Safe Act, whatever it's called, getting brought back to life and passed. I appreciate the work you put in and the tweets you made. I think went a long way towards it. I think what we did here on this radio show and my videos went a long way towards it. And we saw that when you put pressure on these guys, you can actually get stuff done. So I thought that was a really big win for just grassroots and for Mississippi, outspoken Mississippi voters getting something they wanted done passed.
Yeah, I mean, my sense is this, which is there is a certain degree of complacency sometimes with voters when they think that the people who are in power are aligned with them, right? So in a state that is conservative, that is dominated by sort of Republican candidates, I think there's a tendency for people who vote that way to say, well, I've elected Republicans. They're going to go and do the right thing. They're going to go and do the conservative thing. And I would say the same thing if Democrats were in charge, right? Like, there's this tendency to just rely on your own party to do the right thing. I think that's a real mistake, and I think it's a real mistake, particularly in states that have supermajorities, because at some level, legislators start to believe that they're invincible and that it doesn't matter what they do, and it doesn't matter whether or not they live up to the principles they claimed on the campaign trail. And having people hold them accountable is a extremely important part of the process. And the SAFER Act is a great example of that, because Clay, without the sort of outpouring of anger after Joey Hood killed it, it wouldn't have been brought back up.
It was fun watching them last night or yesterday afternoon at the Capitol. It looked like a hostage video with Joey Hood up there having to defend the bill that he shot down. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to dogpile on Representative Hood. I would just say that, you know, to the extent the argument was that the bill needed to be made better, then it could have been made better during the conference process without letting it die. And the fact that it was allowed to die, to me, is indicative of a desire that it died. And so I do think that some of that pressure and some of that criticism is probably warranted, particularly when you hear excuses that just don't hold water.
Amen. Russ Latino, thank you so much for taking time this morning. Always appreciate having you on the show.
Yep, thank you.
Have a blessed one. Great stuff there. Let's take a break, come back, and we'll land the plane for the first hour. Sean and I are here till 9 o'clock. The Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. Mazda of Jackson phone line. You got anything you want to hit? Agree, disagree with anything us and Russ said? Call us. Let us know. 601-879-0002. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. We're here with Sean Yurtkaran on WYAB. Sean, we don't have but a couple minutes before the top of the hour break. I hate to take a deep dive into too much. Let's see if we have any text messages. Maybe that'd be the way to go here. Jerry had actually texted in earlier. Let's see here. All right. Bobcat says, it's not genocide if the young are taught to want to kill Jews. It's self-preservation. Palestinian kids taught to hate Israel in UN-funded camps. You can send a link to a video there from Times of Israel. Frisco says, you don't have to read this on air. Too late. But your enjoyment and entertainment, you need to go back and listen to Gallo yesterday morning with Joey Hood. And somebody sent it to me.
Yeah.
And they nitpicked all the lies in it. Actually, Gallo, of all people,
went
back and fact-checked Joey Hood on Twitter. Ooh. And he said, actually, on line 125 right here, it says there was going to be high school punishment. You know, for, you know, anyway, mm-hmm. he fact-checked him on Twitter after it. And I don't have no problem with Gallo. I mean, we're on different radio stations at the same time, but whatever. At the end of the day, he's a conservative fighting for conservative causes. I think he's a little more of a corporatist than, you know, a regular old school Republican than I am. But neither here nor there. Was really glad to see him call him out. And I, you know, that's what it took. People expect it from me, right? But when WGOP starts calling you out, when Magnolia Tribune start calling you out, and Russ Latino, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, I think I saw a little bit of what Gallo did there, and And I was kind of like, ooh, he's getting saucy. I didn't expect that. You know, usually it's like over there, it's like, oh, yes, you guys are doing great. You know, it's a big pat, you know, pat on the back session. And I saw him like getting a little aggressive. I was like, I need to do that.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back in. It's hour two of the Boom Shakalaka Boom. It is the Clay Edwards Show. I'm, of course, Clay Edwards. I got Sean Yurtkaran here in the studio with me. This segment brought to you by Boykin Contractors. Guys, working on an expansion, need some home repairs done, need a deck built, bathrooms, kitchens. They can do it all. Boykin Contractors. Get in touch with Bryce Boykin today. Look, tons of satisfied customers, repeat customers. You can go check out all their good Google, Facebook reviews. Just Google Boykin Contractors, Florence, Mississippi. They can, again, they can do construction, roofing, remodeling, additions, repairs. They work all over the Tri-County area. Here's a couple of the most important things why you need to choose Boykin. Licensed, bonded, and insured with the Mississippi Board of Contractors. And they're a Christ-centered business that operates with honesty and integrity. And at the end of the day, that is the most important thing, that and the quality of work. You don't get to be in business for an extended amount of time, maybe be bad at what you do without having to change your name every time you do a new job. No worries with Boykin Contractors there. Give Bryce a call today, 601-951-7336. Boykin Contractors. All right, Sean, I could talk about that stuff all morning that we just talked about, especially getting into that SAFER Act.
Yeah.
I just want to say great job to everybody involved in that.
Yeah,
that was a big deal. We made a difference, and we got that. When I say we, I mean everybody that was involved got that done. Fred Shanks brought it back up.
Fred Shanks has got the it seems like he's done the most things in the legislature this session, if you look about it. Squatted trucks, and he brought the SAFER Act back. Can you think of anybody else who had two things like that?
I mean, that maybe there is. It just didn't get as much publicity
that
I wasn't as plugged in on. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and say no, but in my bubble, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In my bubble, absolutely. So, good job to Fred. You know, I mean, let's just look at this from a political standpoint for a second. By the way, Josh Harkins actually wrote this dang bill.
Oh, yeah.
And we, you know, keep forgetting to mention that. Shout out to Josh. Great job there. Fred just sat back and looking at this, like, do I have anything to lose bringing this back up?
Yeah.
If it, and I don't mean like political capital inside the Capitol. I know that there's a lot to lose there when you step on somebody's toes, so to say. But out here in the voter world, amongst normies, he looks like the guy that stood up against pedophiles and protecting our children. And if he wins, if the bill gets passed, he's a hero.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, hey, damn, Fred was in our corner, and he tried.
Yeah. I mean, nothing but good for him.
You know, what did we say this morning on the way in here? You can control the output, not the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as long as people see that you're putting in effort and work, sometimes they don't care, you know, that it didn't work out.
Yeah.
As long as you're just not, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about. We were talking about the mayor of Jackson on the way over here. And, you know, I mean, if Chokwe was doing his job, I think we'd all be okay with it. Like, if he's legitimately out there, like, working on potholes, trying to, fix the traffic signals, working on a crime initiative, and it just wasn't working. But it was kind of like, we were talking about Frank Melton. You know, Frank, not that Frank was great and everything he did, but he looked like he was putting effort into doing something rather than just sitting back and, you know, chilling in the mayor's office and having a cocktail or whatever Chokwe does.
It's like the employee at work. You may be the number one sales guy, but if you always look like you're not doing anything, people are going to look at you like you're lazy.
Yeah.
You may be the worst sales guy, but when you're not selling, you're working the phones, you're pushing a broom. I mean, you're just doing everything. You're running around chasing people on the lot. I mean, you're burning through customers, but dang, you're working hard. You're eventually, that squirrel gonna get that nut eventually.
Yeah,
you know that matters. Output matters.
It does.
You know, like I said, you can't always control the outcome. Actually, you cannot control the outcome, but you can control how much effort you put in.
100%.
And I thought it was a nice political play for Fred.
Yeah.
From a public standpoint, because now you got the the grassroots people who look at him like, hey, man, this guy fought our fight for us. And it, to me, it ain't even a grassroots thing. It's a parental thing.
Yeah.
It's a child protection thing. And it ain't just our children. It's our mothers, our sisters, our grandmothers. I could go on and on and on. But you know, men don't need to be in women's bathrooms. I can't believe this is even a fight in 2024. Yeah. These are the things. This is one of the first things you and I talked about. We're going to get into this Dal Maple stuff.
Okay.
This is one of the first things me and you even talked about when you came on this show. Hmm. We were like trying to find things to disagree on, yeah, this, that, and the other. And it's like just so we could argue.
Right.
And that's when we found out we really don't have a whole lot to disagree on, because it's like, why are we arguing about bathrooms? And this is common sense.
It's like the dumbest thing in the world, I think, sometimes.
How did
for
we
me.
Get
it's,
here?
Yeah, it's just so dumb that I can't even. You know, I think I've said this many times, like the two issues that we're talking about, transgender, is the men playing women's sports and this, right? It just seems obvious to me that these are, you know, like I told you earlier, the only thing I disagreed with this bill was, I think if you have the full surgery, you know, then you should be able to use the women's bathroom. But other than that, you know, I think it's fine. And then again, it goes with the sports issue. Those just seem like common sense issues to me. And, you know, I know we talk about the pedophile stuff all the time or whatever, but the general thing, really, the biggest thing is the uncomfortability factor to women. You know, that a guy, I was listening to Riley Gaines on Bill Maher's podcast, and she was talking about Leah Thomas, the trans woman that was a swimmer, and would come in the locker room, and she, you know, everything's hanging out, and everybody was kind of, you know, uncomfortable about that. And I think that's probably the general problem with it.
You know, Sean, in life, you have to make sacrifices to get what you want.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get all philosophical here. If you want things, okay, let's, for instance, I had a whistleblower on here the other day in the federal prison system.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Chambliss was on here. And Fred decided to be a whistleblower. And when you decide to become a whistleblower, God bless them. That's how change is made. But you're probably giving up the opportunity to get a promotion within that company,
yeah,
right? Or, and dang well, possibly to keep your job. When you decide to become a different gender in your mind, well, you know what? You give up the right to play sports. If I cut my schlong off today, guess what? I ain't going to be able to have intercourse with women anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, so you,
it's pretty.
You make sacrifices.
You know, another question I have about that. How many is it trans man, a woman that becomes a man, play in men's sports? Is there data on that? I've never looked it up. Have you ever looked that up?
It's minimal because just physically they can't compete.
Well, right. That's my point. I mean, I bet it's varied, the number. I mean, I think I looked it up one time and they do things like men's fencing or something like that.
Sure, I'm sure there's some that, you know, they can do just fine in.
Right.
There was one the other day who decided to try to be a boxer.
Okay.
And it did not work out.
It didn't work out. But so you don't see that. So I think that tells you all you need to know. You don't see the high incidence of that you do in, you know, women's sports.
Yeah.
And it's obvious reasons, because it's not beneficial.
No, I mean we're different.
Yeah,
I mean, and there's things that men don't need to do in women's sports.
Right.
I mean, I think LeBron should go play in the WNBA. I'd be cool for that.
I guess maybe at his age now he could do.
Yeah,
that.
You know, maybe he can go dominate there. Put on a dress.
It'd be like the seniors league for him or something.
Remember the grandmama commercials?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Sean. Gosh, I hate shifting gears to something so serious after that, but
yep,
it's what we do around here. Dal Maple. Big, and for those that don't know, he's the, I hate just saying that. He's the black guy that they found in the river 2 weeks ago that was disappeared from Fondren, married to the white.
Bellhaven Heights, yeah.
Yeah, married to the white girl. And I'll be honest, I didn't really think there was anything funky about this. But the more she talks and the more stuff that comes out, the worse it looks. And again, that doesn't equal guilt.
Yeah.
But what do you say, Sean? A man of 1,000 coincidences?
Yeah, 1,000 coincidences is the closing argument I used to use, or the unluckiest man in the world. That's another one. You know, and there's just a lot of things that this is becoming like a true crime episode, this whole thing, and I'm kind of addicted to it. And it just you know, she took the stand in the chancery hearing a couple days ago, and I watched all that testimony. Kingfish actually went out there and videoed it, and I watched his video on YouTube, and just certain things she's saying are to me are not adding up. Now, I'm not saying she did anything. She probably didn't. I don't know that. The you know, it goes from this massive search, right, to now we find out that they had marital problems, which, you know, doesn't mean, just because you have marital problems doesn't mean you kill your spouse. We know that.
No.
But they had some kind of, you know, marital issues where she had just left the home.
One of us wouldn't have made it out of my last marriage. That's my only marriage.
Same. My first one. Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I totally see that. I mean, you know, it's well, I mean, that's what, you know, like when I was a prosecutor, that's something you see constantly is domestic things cause murders. It just, I mean, that's just what it is. And that's why
there was a shooting in Mendenhall yesterday. A cop shot a guy at the police station that he had arrested for domestic violence. It's always these domestic issues that get way out of line.
Oh, every time. I mean, every time. And so, you know, of course, like, the spouse is the first suspect. I mean, it's just natural that they're going to be. And again, I'm not saying that she, you know, did anything at all. I did find it interesting that she testified in this hearing. And what I mean by that is, as far as I know, she's not a suspect, but she is a suspect. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, if I was representing her, I'd have been like, okay, you're not taking the stand. Like, there's no way I'm going to let her testify to this right now. You know, even if she's 100% innocent, I'm just not let her do it. I mean, that would be what I would have done. But she took the stand, and you know, she had talked about she had received the complaint for the autopsy, but apparently she said she was not noticed for the hearing. And that's what this hearing was all about. They were trying to see if they're going to do an independent autopsy and who should be the actual plaintiff on that, which should be her because she's the next of kin. And so they fixed all that, and they ordered the independent autopsy that's apart from the Department of Public Safety's autopsy, which, to me, you know, the Department of Public Safety is going to do a good job on the autopsy. And now I think they're just, this is kind of theater that we need this independent autopsy that's going to show us something different. And there's a whole argument's going on right now about whether they're going to do that or not. Some of the most interesting things she said, though, I guess she had said that he had texted her that he was going, but then left his phone at home, which... Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. I was going to circle back just a second. Mm-hmm. You just brought something to my attention that in our off-air conversation, yeah, I wasn't aware of. And y'all know I love podcasts.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
She apparently she'd been listening to pro-feminist podcasts, and, yep, and that was dripping into their marriage.
Correct.
And he did not like the pro-feminist, what it was turning her into.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see, not to stereotype here, but you see a photo of her, she looks like she should be at these Free Palestine rallies. She looks like what I would say a progressive feminist looks like.
Yeah, I think, and I saw some people comment that they looked at her Facebook feed, and that kind of was a general theme. You know? Yeah, and he's from the Sudan, you know, so he's kind of, I think he's a conservative guy. And
like Muslim conservative.
Yeah, right. And he was very mad about these feminist podcasts, and they asked her that on the stand in the hearing. And I don't know, but I kind of, like, in my mind, like I was telling you, like, you can imagine how this went between them, right? She's listening to all these podcasts, and she's going to him like, you need to be doing this. You know how this get went. I mean,
well, remember Eddie Murphy, Raw?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Eddie, I want half.
That's exactly what I was thinking, you know.
It said the roles are reversed, right?
What have you done for me lately? You know, that's what I was thinking.
Sitting at home watching Oprah all day, and next thing you know, Eddie, I want half.
That says our age right there, Clay, because, you know, that we just can recite Eddie Murphy Raw.
If y'all don't know what we're talking about, there's Eddie Murphy used to be more than a Disney actor.
Yeah.
He used to be a foul-mouthed, amazing American stand-up comedian. Go find Eddie Murphy Raw. I never thought I'd be at the age where I was having to explain to people who Eddie Murphy was, because frankly, he was a head of my generation.
Yeah, he's much older than us, and yeah, but he was in the 80s. He was iconic.
All right, so this going to be interesting to follow. I cut you off, unfortunately, prior to that. You were getting to a point about her when we circled back to the podcast, but I think that's an important part of this.
Yeah,
because it helps, and he's also texting his baby mama. Yeah. About his relationship problems.
And she testified on the hearing, too.
Yeah.
His baby's mom is a child's mother. And, yeah, it seems, I guess what I'm trying to simply explain is that, so now we know that there was obviously marital problems. She left the home. She's back. They had a roommate that he was having problems with, too. And so there's all these things that, you know, give you rise to believe something may have happened.
Wait. Is it a male or female roommate?
I think it was a female roommate.
Okay. I'm about to say, if it's a male, we got
an idea.
We have a new suspect.
New suspect. There you go. I mean, so there's all this stuff that's coming out about it that are just interesting. And but other than that, I mean, there's no evidence that she did anything other than, you know, just innuendo, essentially. I mean, what it is right now. So I don't know. You know, I feel like something more is going to break from this, though.
Yeah, I'm going to stand by my initial idea that there's some type of accidental drug overdose
yeah.
type situation.
You've been saying
here.
that you think it's that, which it makes a lot of sense. But she said on the stand yesterday that she doesn't use drugs. So I guess we'll find out whether she does or not, if that was a truthful statement or not.
I'm going to go on record here and say shenanigans.
Yeah.
I have my doubts.
I doubt that, too. I didn't seem like that was truthful to me.
No. I'm not accusing. I'm just saying Clay's personal opinion
right.
with no data or evidence to back this up, I call shenanigans.
That's the way I felt. I texted you when I heard that portion I was watching. I was like, we're going to see. See, this is, and that's one of the reasons, like, this is why you don't let your client take the stand before there's any, either there's no reason to do that at this point. And, I mean, it's a chance you're hearing. There's no criminal proceedings initiated at all.
But you're under oath and it can be used in a criminal.
Yeah, I would just, I'd be like, you need to stay home.
We had this conversation in a private conversation about something else going on in our lives about exactly why you don't let anybody do a deposition or get on the stand under oath for non-criminal stuff.
When you're facing a potential, I mean, I'm not saying she is, but I mean, if I was, you know, if she called me up like before this and said, hey, I need you to represent me, and I'm like, you're going to sit your butt home right now. I mean, you know, or go to the hearing, you're not talking. I just think it's, when you're a possible suspect, it's dangerous to do that in my mind.
And you have to be self-aware enough to say, I'm a possible suspect.
You got to be. I mean, if I was... You know, like say I was married to her and she disappeared and there's all this stuff came out about having problems. I'm like, yeah, I'm a suspect. I mean, even though I didn't do it, I'm a suspect.
All right, let's take a break real quick. We got Sean Yerkron and myself. This is the Clay Edwards Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, I've tried not to just beat a horse upside the head here, a dead horse upside the head, but if you have not taken advantage of getting your testosterone levels checked, your free screening, courtesy of the Clay Edwards Show and WYAB with Men's Health of Mississippi, I do not know what you're doing with your life, especially if you're – there was a great show, Sean. I don't know if I've ever told you about it. I feel like I have. It came on TNT probably about 10 or 15 years ago. It was called Men of a Certain Age.
I've heard of it. I never watched it, though.
You got to find it.
Are we men of a certain age now? Don't do that to me on a Friday.
It's men of a certain age. And it is guys that are, it was a group of friends. And they're at where we're at in life.
Okay.
You know, some are married, some are single, but they're all in this certain age and they're dealing with the struggles of, you know, being in your, you know, being in your, the stretch before the second half of your life.
Yeah.
You know, let's be honest. I reached the halfway point a while ago. This old body's been, it ain't got a whole lot of, It's a newer year model, but it's got a lot of miles.
Yeah,
it's got the miles of a 60-year-old car. But anyway, make it out there and you just get your testosterone checked. I mean, you'll be so much happier. Look, I got just over the last 2.5 weeks, guys. I've been doing my testosterone over the year, but I had been kind of cheating my diet, to be honest with y'all, for the last year, and I gained like 25 pounds back. Now, granted, a lot of muscle there too, but I've been eating right, taking my testosterone shot, and working out at least 4 days a week. And I've seen a bigger difference in 2 weeks than I have in the last year in just definition. I've lost 13 pounds. And it's amazing how well all this stuff works together when you're doing it all in concert together. The testosterone, the diet, working out. So anyway, just point being, get out there. You know, maybe you're doing one part, but you're not doing the other part. Mix it all together. I'm going to give you the text number here. If you'll just text FREE, I mean, real simple, text the word FREE to, somebody's going to make fun of me for not having the number already ready, but here it is, 601-327-8550, 601-327-8550. If you're dealing with fatigue, decreased muscle tone, lack of energy, low libido, brain fog, sleep disturbances, and erectile dysfunction. Like I said the other day, it's always funny until it's you. your secret's safe, man.
Nobody over 40 makes that joke. it's like once you get over there, nobody makes that joke anymore.
No, it's like, this ain't funny.
It's not funny.
This ain't funny. Look, man, Men's Health of Mississippi, located at 120 Fountains Boulevard, Madison, Mississippi. Go see those guys. Great folks. Everybody I send over there, I've yet to have anybody holler back at me and say, Clay, that was not worth the money. That was a bad experience. Everybody is basically sent me Christmas cards that's been over there, and they've gotten on the testosterone or whatever else. I mean, they're a full anti-aging clinic, so to say. So check them out, menshealthms.com. Sean, this Dow Mabel thing, mm-hmm. it's some twists and curves there.
See, I'm surprised you didn't see the feminist podcast thing, because I think that's like right up your alley, you know.
Man, so. I've been loosely watching. Mm-hmm. It's been like interesting from 30,000 feet, but now that things are starting to come into focus,
yeah,
it's going to be something I pay more attention to. But now the feminist podcast thing, because see, now you've got things that pique my interest.
Mm-hmm.
You got a white liberal chick married to the black guy. Who's now come up dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. This is, like, perfect for you. That's what I was like. Yeah. You'd be more into it.
You got the... Now, this is me stereotyping here. I'm not talking about her in particular, but generally speaking, you got the group of people I consider the biggest racist in America, liberal white folks, married to a black guy who's now come up dead. Then you got Black Jackson, automatically just assuming that her family must have done it, mm-hmm. and thrown him in the river because he was a black guy. And you got a lot of parts here.
A lot of layers to this.
A lot of layers here. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, who done it, what's the reaction of who done it.
Well, because, there's several different theories. Okay, number one is he just fell in the river. Now, you and I, living in Jackson so long, are pretty familiar with the river. I mean, I live very close to it in Bellhaven, walk down there all the time. It's not the easiest thing to do in the world. Now, I know the river was up high at that time, so, I mean, I guess it's possible he just fell in and... But I also read, and she testified on the stand, that he was a very good swimmer. So he knew how to swim. I mean, now he could get caught in a current, something like that.
Yeah, I got caught in a current on the Okotoma.
Yeah.
One time. That too. And if it wasn't for Andrew White coming over in the canoe and saving my butt, I almost died right there. So I got caught in a little, right. Yeah, little, what's it called when it goes around in circles?
I can't remember now. But
like a drain? A vortex?
Clay is spinning his hand in circles. And I know what he's talking about. I just don't know what it's called.
It's amazing the simple words that elude you when you're live on radio. But anyway, it's good swim. I'm a good swimmer.
Undertow.
Undertow. Yeah, I don't know if that's it either. That's but same concept.
Okay.
I grew up with a pool. I'm a good swimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've swam across the reservoir before. Not the big part, but, the park over there where you go from the camping side back and forth. Mm-hmm. I've done that. I mean, it's way longer than it looks is why I mentioned this. And so it's easy to be a good swimmer and drown.
Yeah, sure. So, 100%.
Right. So I'm curious.
So that could have happened. I mean, you could have got caught up in something. And, that's a possible theory of what happened. I still wonder how he fell in, just fell in the water. So that's one theory. The other theory is that, it was some sort of, murder conspiracy.
Thank you to the Texters, a whirlpool.
Whirlpool, thank you.
Thank y'all. Thank you. Three in a row. Boom, boom, boom.
Everybody got it.
Hey, somebody just brought up another fact. Actually, my buddy, I won't say his name, but a buddy of mine yesterday texted and said, hey, so we've now had two black guys show up dead in the river in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I call a clue.
That's a clue. What do you mean?
When was the last time you remember somebody showing up dead in the river in Jackson? It doesn't happen that often.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of dead bodies down there, but not recently that I've seen
them
floating.
They're anchored better.
They punctured the lungs. They knew how to do it right. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do.
Is that what you do?
That's what you do.
Interesting.
That's what I always.
Where exactly is the lungs on the torso?
I'd have to look it up. I'm not really good at that anatomy.
I'm not saying I don't need to know. I mean, I don't want my Google search history to have how to puncture lungs to sink a body, but. I guess I could do it incognito.
Well, anyway. A lot of times, they'll strap the body. This is okay. This is from, a decade of prosecuting murders. Some of these idiots will, they'll strap the concrete boots, they'll strap. But I mean, the body just, the legs break apart. They float
say,
up. That's what happens.
Decomposition.
Yeah. I mean, that happens every time. So, like, you got to do it the correct way.
You got to put it in a body bag at least if you're going to do that right.
Something, or just get some lime. Come on, fellas. Just do something. I'm telling people how to commit murder. No, I'm not.
But if you did.
Look,
we've all.
Like OJ, if I did it.
Here's the thing. We've all watched enough true crime documentaries at this point that I think we all know how to. Think we get away with it. Let me just give you one bit of advice. If you're ever going to go commit any crime and you want to think about getting away with it, two things. Don't tell nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, don't take a coat. Don't take a partner in crime and leave your cell phone at home and do not drive a vehicle that has GPS.
Yeah, exactly. And then don't talk to the police. That's the other one. Don't do that.
I mean, You got to start just little simple things. Just leave your phone at home. Start there.
Yeah.
And of course, and go do it by yourself. But I'm just saying, if I was going to do it, that's what I would do.
The phone, though, is always the thing. I mean, actually, I've told you this a million times. I used to love cell phone tower records because I was like, once I had those, I was like, you're getting convicted. Like, because it just everybody carries their cell phone. They just can't leave it at home.
No.
And they do it, and then it's like pinging off. You know, I had one case where a guy killed his wife's lover, or not wife, his girl, his mistress's lover, and then, like, I mean, he was just pinging right in front of the apartment. I mean, just nailed him.
I wasn't even over there, dog.
Yeah, like, no, you were. You're right here. Here's the thing. Here's the records.
And so, you know what's crazy about that? We got to take a break. But what's crazy about that cell phone data is that is, in my opinion, it was trying to explain the cell phone data in the Polo trial that caused the mistrial.
Yeah, I think they had a hard time doing that right correctly. I'm sure they'll shore that up this time. I think once they do that, get that explained, because it is, you know, when I was doing that 10 years ago, it was kind of
overcomplicated.
New. Yeah, you gotta pare it down a bit and explain it to the jury how it works and kind of go through those things. And it can be very complicated to people. But that's why you try not to go super technical with it. But it's very reliable, and you know, I mean, it usually convicts people. So I think they'll probably get it right this time.
Yeah, because I think we haven't heard the end of this Fannie Willis stuff either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been quiet a little bit because the New York trial is going on.
True.
We ain't heard the end of this Fannie Willis stuff because I'm sure the folks in Georgia are going to do something about it. And that cell phone data is also what is really, really incriminating. Well, her in her mouth.
Yeah, I mean, she perjured herself several times, obviously. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think that data kind of... Well, I mean, wasn't Nathan Wade pinging in front of her apartment at like 3 in the morning?
Yeah.
Something like that, so, yeah. If I remember correctly.
So they were over there talking business after the kids were asleep.
But he said that, you know, he'd like to go over that neighbor to go to the Porsche store. I was like, was he going at 3 in the morning?
Exactly.
I mean, man.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yorkeron. This segment brought to you by our friends over at Mazda of Jackson. We're going to actually talk about a couple of car lots real quick. Mazda Jackson, located right there on 55 North Frontage Road at Briarwood. Guys, look, you're going to get a free 43-inch TV with every purchase. But wait, there's more. And you get a limited lifetime powertrain warranty with every purchase. I mean, there's obviously a few little catches. You know, you just got to typically you have to get your vehicle serviced there, get your oil change done there, and get it done within a certain amount of time. I mean, just basic maintenance stuff, not hard to do. I worked at a dealership that did these things. They are real. You know, I know a lot of people hear lifetime and, you know, they think, oh, I'm sure there's a bunch of catches. Not really. Take care of your vehicle and the warranty will cover it. So get over there, check them out. I'm not sure what the current APR specials are for May, but if you're trying to get a really good interest rate, a new car is the way to go, and Mazda Jackson has you covered. Get over there today and check out the CX-90. If you're in the market for a luxury crossover SUV, you're cheating yourself if you don't look at the CX-90 before you make your purchase. Also, you're in the market for a used vehicle? Go see my folks over at Noel Daniels in Brandon, right there today. Go see Daniel Freeman. Go see Noel Daniels. A lot of folks I've worked with over there at Noel Daniels Motor Company, actually. Cord, Josh, golly, I can't believe the older fellow's name. I worked with him out at Swain. Anyway, just a bunch of good folks over there. They're going to take care of you, and you won't be disappointed. And they specialize in is late model pre-owned vehicles. Trucks, cars, they got it all. I'm sitting here, I got the website pulled up. Really easy website to remember as well. NoelDaniels.cars. NoelDaniels.cars. Look at it right there at Woodgate Drive in Cross Gates. That's Noel Daniels. I'm sitting here. Oh, and don't forget, they got all the Icon electric golf carts and scooters too. Really neat stuff. You want one of those really cool electric scooters to zip around on? Sean, it'd be great in your neighborhood.
Well, you with the potholes? I'm never going to do that.
These are neat.
It's no, like, I know they are cool.
Like $850. I really would have thought they were more money than that. Right. But anyway, and you can park them and take the battery out really easy, so you don't have to worry about, in theory, worry about it getting stolen because the battery's really small.
Yeah.
But get over there. Check them out. The Icon products are really cool.
What's it called?
It's an Icon scooter.
Okay.
ESO3. Are you Googling it?
Yeah, I'm curious, man.
Yeah, look at the Icon ES03. 03. And that's actually affordable. I could actually use that to go back and forth to the bars in downtown Brandon.
That looks kind of fun. I mean, I'm not kidding.
Can I get a DUI for being drunk on a scooter?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't know, but I think so.
It's not a moped now. It's like one of the scooters you stand on.
I mean, I think you can on a golf cart. So I've never represented anybody in those situations before, but I mean, I think in theory you would.
I'll be so disappointed if I get blue-lighted, basically riding an electric scooter.
Me and my buddy, he actually probably is listening right now because he texted me. We got pulled over in Bellhaven on his golf cart. And I had a case of beer in my hand one day, and the cop's like, didn't say anything. He was just like, you guys need to make this street ready. You know, like, we didn't have any lights on it, and you're supposed to, like, make it street legal or whatever.
Yeah.
Golf cart.
Tag
just,
and all that stuff.
We're like, I mean, we're like, JPD, this is before Capitol Police, you know, like JPD pulled us over because we have beer in a golf cart. Like, this is ridiculous.
It's a killing field over here. You're worried about beer on a golf
yeah.
cart?
Exactly.
I referred to the summer of 21 earlier with Sean as the summer of Sam over there in Bellhaven.
It was. It was terrible.
All right. Look, NoelDaniels.cars. Check out the scooters, the golf carts, and, of course, the pre-owned vehicles. Sean and I were talking during the break. I kind of enjoyed that last segment where we got into some of the sillier ways people have tried to sink bodies and whatnot in the Pearl River. Well, circling mm-hmm. back real quick on a serious note, I find it interesting that we've been a while without a body floating in the river, and then 2 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Do we have a serial killer in Jackson?
That's what it is. It's a serial killer.
Killing black men and throwing them in the river.
Hmm. You know. I mean, I prosecuted that guy. I've told you about it many times that was killing elderly women here in Alabama, so it's happened before.
I mean, probably a bad analogy. I mean, they kill them everywhere else, particularly gas stations. I don't know why the river would be something special.
The gas station is now the Jasco's a serial killer. Kind of is, if you think about it.
I wonder how many legitimate serial killers there are in Jackson. I know the definition of serial killer is kind of like mass shooting.
Yeah.
It changes with race and profiles and this, that, and the other. And I'm being serious with that. I mean, like, you know, black mass shootings are just called gang violence. They're not called mass shootings.
Yeah.
Serial killers in gang world aren't the same as serial killers in normal world.
No, I mean, yeah, I don't know, but I guess the gang killings are, like, gang serial killer, a little different than, like, when I think of serial killer, I think,
same
like,
with the mob. You don't look as, like, a mob hitman as a serial killer.
Yeah.
Even though he's killed 100 people.
Like, Sammy the Bull killed, like, what, 40 people. And, yeah. Like, he's not a serial killer. It was, like, business related. So, serial killers to me are, like, guys that, like, you know, chop somebody's head off and wear it as a hat and drive through 5 states. Like, that's the serial killer, you know.
Yeah, pick women up at different places around the country and kill them. And your traditional Ted Bundy-esque.
Right, John Wayne Gacy, you know, these guys that are just look sickos, it puts the lotion on its skin, like that guy.
It puts the lotion on the skin. And then what? What does it do? I love the Joe Dirt. And he's like, he says, puts the lotion on the skin for the Auto Trader magazines.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's like, all right, I put it on. Now send them down.
Then what's going on?
All right, we don't have like 3 or 4 minutes left here, Sean, but we were going to tell a funny story. Floyd is the man's name, the old fellow I worked with at Swain, by the way, and he works at Noel Daniels now. I had a complete brain fart. I apologize, Floyd. Floyd is the fellow's name. Goodbye. See Floyd and the whole team over there today. You won't be disappointed with the service you get. There's some Clay Edwards Show stickers over there, by the way, some of the FAFO ones.
Mm-hmm.
They got a stack on the counter. So goodbye. See him. Sean, we were thinking that it would be fun to do a show about some of the craziest defenses that Sean has seen over the years when people were, where he was prosecuting murders.
Yeah.
And you came up with, it may not be a murder.
No, this is a house burglary, but everybody will know who I'm talking about. Yeah. The, you know, so Trent Lott, the former senator, has a house, in like rural Hinds County. I forget exactly the address. I think it's Greenway Drive out there, something like that, in the rural area. And, it's like a antebellum house, like pre-Civil War, I think. Anyway, it looks like that.
Are there slave quarters on
it? I mean, it looks like they got some, right? It's like total, like, what you see in the movie. So anyway, so this dude goes out there one time, and he, like, he kicks in the door, and he breaks in, and he tries to steal some stuff. Anyway, and so he's running down, like, there's nothing out there. So, like, he's running and, like, running down the road, and, the, you know, cops stop him. They're like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just out here for exercising. Like, you know, no, you wouldn't. Like, why are you all the way out here exercising? It's ridiculous. And so they, you know, arrest this guy, and so I had to subpoena, you know, Trent Lott, and he actually came and, you know, testified in the trial. One of the best witnesses I've ever questioned. I mean, the guy is, like, amazing. It was just, I was, like, kind of enamored while I was questioning him. And my friends in the office, you know, all my black friends were like, you're never going to convict somebody in Hinds County for breaking into Trent Lott's plantation house. I was like, oh yes, I'm going to do that. You know, and Trent Lott took the stand, and the whole jury was just enamored by him. They just like, because like, he either talked about his house been broken into. He wasn't there at the time. And what got this guy was he kicked the door down with his shoe, and he had these K-Swiss shoes on. And there we had a shoe print expert that matched the thing that he was wearing. Yeah, and so he's running down the street, and you know, like he took the stand and said, "I was just working out." You know, like, and, like this is a place like you just be like you drive into like BFE to just run.
Sounds just like that guy that got himself killed over there, just jogging in his work boots and jeans in Georgia.
Which one was that?
Ahmaud Arbery.
Was he wearing jeans? I don't even remember.
He had on jeans and work boots and said I was jogging. Well, he didn't say it. He did. But folks were saying he was jogging.
He was jogging. I don't. This guy just like, you know, he was wearing like regular like jeans and a t-shirt, and he's like K-Swiss, and he's like, I'm just out here working out, you know, like in the middle of nowhere. And then yeah, the jury did not believe him and actually convicted him for breaking into Trent Lott's plantation house, which is what it looked like. I'm not kidding. I was nervous about the trial. I was like, man, I'm gonna prosecute this, you know, like yeah. I did not want to do it.
Try to get a jury in Hinds County to prosecute. It makes sense.
No, but you never be complaining about Hinds. I never had that experience. Like I, you know, it just didn't. They always did the right thing in my mind. So, and this was 12 black folks on the jury, and they're like, nah, you know, they convicted him for breaking in Trent Lott's plantation house. So,
funny stuff there. We will have to do a show about some of the craziest defenses that you've gone up against.
Yeah, sure.
I just love the simplest of the simple. The man of 1,000 coincidences, the worst luck ever.
You know, one guy he told me he understood that he took too much ibuprofen, and that made him do it. You know, I was like, so you took a lot of Advil, and that's
made me crazy.
You made me crazy, and I, you know, committed this crime. It's kind of weird.
On the Guns and Gear text line, Jerry says he should have used the OJ defense, but on shoes. If they don't fit, you must acquit. Problem is,
he was wearing them at the time, though, when they caught him. You know, he was wearing the K-Swiss.
They did, in fact, fit. Guys, be sure to get out to Guns and Gear this weekend. Speaking of, for all your gun and ammo needs as well. As all your Cerakoting and gunsmithing needs. They got you covered right there on 51 North in Gluckstadt. Shop them online, gunsingearms.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show as we get ready to wind it down for the week. I think one of our best weeks of shows to date here. Be sure to check out the podcast. Go back and listen to some of them. I think they're all going to be looked back, and we put them in a time capsule, and it's discovered thousands of years after humanity's lost. They will definitely think that I was quite the philosopher mm-hmm. and one of the smartest people to have ever lived.
Right.
I mean, obviously. Yep. No, look, all joking aside, thank you guys for making the show what it's been, giving me the opportunity to do this, and I anticipate doing this for as long as humanly possible. So, thank you all for that. Again, fun shows this week. Sean, thank you. Appreciate you coming in.
Can we thank Brandon Presley for tweeting at Russ? I mean, everybody needs to go check that out.
If y'all want to see some juicy drama, some white people drama,
yeah,
go check out some upper middle class white people drama. Go check out Russ Latino's Twitter handle and find the conversation with him and the Presley family.
Yeah, Caitlin and Brandon, and it's like Dynasty on Twitter. You know, you can see this.
It is. I think it's apparent that the former gubernatorial candidate may have had a problem getting in the sauce.
Yeah, I think that's what it sounds like.
And that maybe that's been addressed, maybe it hadn't, but it's entertaining nonetheless. We really dodged the bullet with Tate winning that election. Sean, see you next week.